hand those out? Could you hand that? Could you hand those out?
Sure.
Hand those out. Oh, can I have just one?
Yeah.
Just in case. How do you get it to? Okay. Okay, I'm going to be talking about the meta levels of being. And I started this research when I did my PhD at London School of Economics, and it was from 1974 to 82, and I did my research on ontology in relationship to the philosophy of science, and I was particularly concerned about how new things come into existence or emergence. So what I'm planning to do is run through this really quickly so you see the whole argument, and then I'll, if I have any time left, I'll go back and try to concentrate on other things. Oops. Okay, here we go. Okay, here's the key idea. At that time, continental philosophy was just becoming important and interesting, and so I was reading quite a bit of continental philosophy in translation at that time, and I was trying to figure out what the continental philosophers meant by all these different kinds of being they were finding, because I thought they might have some significance in relationship to scientific theories and the ontology of scientific theories. And so eventually I ran into the idea of looking at Russell's higher logical type theory as the basis for understanding what continental philosophers were talking about in terms of kinds of being. And so Russell's higher logical type theory was well summarized by in a little tiny book by Coppi, and then was used by Bateson applied in a lot of different ways. And basically what we're talking about here is that, you know, being is the biggest paradox there is. And what Russell was trying to do was disambiguate paradoxes. And so even though, you know, Russell's higher logical type theory hasn't had much of a history, you know, in current analytical philosophy as far as I know, it is one tool to try to disambiguate paradox. And so it can be used to try to understand what these kinds of being are. So I started applying that, and I found out that it worked really well. So at that time, basically what I did was that I realized that the if you look at several different continental philosophers, especially Heidegger and Merleau-Ponty, Derrida, and so forth, basically what they were doing were, you know, in our tradition, being has always been a monolith. It's always been one thing. And basically what they, you know, through Husserl and Heidegger, what they discovered was that from the point of view of the human being, it can be seen to have different modalities. And once you say that being has different kinds or different modalities, then that opens up Pandora's box. How many kinds of modality are there? So what I realized as I was interpreting these kinds of being in terms of meta levels, that that you really only went up to four levels, and then you seem to run into a wall. And so I looked for a long time, tried to figure out what that wall was that you ran into, and eventually I started interpreting it as existence. And I think it's really interesting, the idea that as you go to these higher meta levels of being, at the fifth meta level, there's a phase transition into existence. So I spent quite a bit of time trying to look at that fifth meta level and understand it. And one of the basic ideas here, that once you realize that the different kinds of being are meta levels, then you realize that what emergence is when something comes into our world, either internally or externally, from the inside or the outside, that's a genuine emergence, it has to pass through all of these kinds of being. And if it doesn't pass through all of them, then it's an artificial emergence. And so there's a crucial distinction here between artificial and genuine emergences that revolves around this fifth meta level of being. So the next idea that I'd like to present, which is a more recent one, is that there's an analogy between mathematical category theory and ontology, and that one of the things that we ought to be thinking about doing is trying to figure out what are the, there's something now called in-category theory. And one of the things we should be thinking about is how to develop in-ontologies. And I think that the in-ontologies follow the pattern of the kinds of being. And so basically what I've written down there, and you probably can't see up here, but it's on your sheets, is that if you think of the categories as you go up, and it goes, you know, arrow, functor, natural transformation, modification, and as far as I know, there's no name for the fifth level, meta level there, so I would say that's emergence. Then you can start talking about the natures of these ontologies. And the key point here is that this is a conference on dynamic ontology. And my message, basically, is that there's deeper levels of ontology besides dynamism of the ontology, and that they have emergent properties themselves. And we need to study these deeper ontologies and their emergent properties. And basically what I've done here is just outlined what I think they might be, but it's an open question what these deeper ontologies are beyond dynamism. And this brings up another point, which I think is very interesting, which I only realized recently, which is that emergence itself can be looked at in terms of these meta levels. There's meta levels of emergence itself. In other words, you know, emergence is, having these properties that are more than supervenient. But so emergence itself has those properties that are more than supervenient at a kind of meta level of looking at emergence. And so it's when I realized that emergence itself had these emergent properties that I realized how the relationship between genuine emergence and artificial emergence works. You know, the difference between genuine emergence and artificial emergence is genuine emergence changes the whole world in which we live, or some domain within that world. And so, you know, artificial emergence, like the lowest case is that we have new fashions every year, new electronics every year. You know, we kind of build in these artificial newnesses, but there's a completely different, there's a completely different thing when you talk about emergence becoming a process in itself, because then emergence becomes an event, and so on. So I won't go through that. I'll just continue with the argument, but we can come back to that if you like. Okay, so to me, the really interesting part of this thing is what happens at the fifth meta level of being, where you seem to run into a wall. Because it could be that there were infinite number of meta levels of being, but it doesn't seem that that's true. It seems that what happens is at the fifth meta level of being, you run into existence. And so in some way, existence is at the core of being. And when I talk about being, I'm talking about a projection process. So what I realized recently was that always, you know, for maybe 20 years, I thought there were only four of these meta levels of being. And but as I pursued that, what I realized was that there were anomalies to that. I kept running into anomalies just trying to apply four meta levels of being. And eventually I realized how it could be that there was a transition into existence, yet there was a kind of being at the fifth meta level. And basically what it means is that at the fifth meta level, there you have impure existence. There is a tiny bit of being at that meta level in the layers. And what happens is that, the standard interpretation of existence, there's two main ones. One is the void, which comes from Taoism, and the other one is emptiness, which comes from Buddhism. Buddhists deny the reality of the external world, and they talk about emptiness as the kind of purification of consciousness. And the Taoists, on the other hand, deny that there's any difference between the social and the psychological and nature itself. And so you kind of have an external type of null situation and an internal type of null situation. And what I realized was that ultra being was the mediator between these two positions, and that it represented the externality of being, because all of these meta levels are being in the world. They're different aspects of being in the world. And so when you get to ultra being, it's being out of the world. You've gone into an external view of being. And so now I'm engaged in a study of something called schemas, you know, schemas in Kant, and also in the Timaeus, Plato talks about schemas. And that what I realized was that these schemas that I'm studying have the nature of this fifth meta level of being. So I just want to make clear what's happening here. There's a flip that occurs at the fifth meta level of being. Below the fifth meta level of being, you have two duals, two nihilistic opposites. And those nihilistic opposites seem to be in conflict and so forth. And there's always a non-dual behind the scenes, which is neither one nor many. And that's the secret connection that holds the two artificial opposites apart, and yet pulls them together into conflict. And so there's below the from the fourth meta level down, you have these non-duals in the non-dual in the background, and the two dualities in the foreground. But what happens at the fifth meta level of being is that situation flips. And suddenly you have the two interpretations of non-duality as the opposites, and ultra being itself goes into the position of the non-dual. So now I'd like to just briefly talk about what these schemas are, and I think there's a lot of confusion in this conference and elsewhere about the difference between what I would call ontic levels and ontological levels. And the ontic levels have to do with, reductionism in science is a great thing as far as I'm concerned, because what happens is that science goes out and tries to reduce everything. And what it can't reduce, that's what we call the emergent levels. And there's lots of different views of that because there's lots of different approaches to science. But on the ontological side, there are these schemas, and the schemas are ways of organizing the data at the different ontic levels. And so we have these different schemas which we project. So these schemas are projections onto the ontic levels, and you can project multiple schemas onto the same ontic level. And that a lot of confusion in our discussions come from the fact that someone might think of something as a system and someone else thinks of it as a pattern. So one of the things that I've discovered is that the schemas is related to the dimensional hierarchy, and that they're duals of each other. And basically the way it works is that I have this hypothesis that there are these 10 schemas, and basically I've just found them empirically in the literature, but I've come to believe that these are the 10 schemas, and I haven't found any anomalies yet in this system. But what I found is that there's this general rule, which is that there's two dimensions per schema and two schemas per dimension. And so schemas and dimensions are like duals of each other, and there's this very interesting relationship between the structure of the schemas and the structure of dimensionality in math. One other thing I'd like to mention very quickly is those schemas is not just a gross hierarchy, but in between the levels of the schema there are fine differentiations of the schema system, so that there are what I call special systems there. And I've developed a theory of special systems. And then the final slide I have here is just a way of understanding the place of schema in relation to other things we've been talking about, is that if you accept that the physis and logos are the kind of two major, major dichotomy in our worldview, then you can have the physis of the logos and the logos of the physis, right? And the physis of the logos is logic. It's the fundamental constraints that would make it so that you weren't making sense in language. And the schemas are the logos of the physos. In other words, we project the schemas onto stuff out into the world, and the stuff talks back to us through the anomalies in the schemas. And so there's a way for nature to talk back to us in the schemas. And so if you look at the relationship between logic, schemas, and then in the non-dual, there's the mathesis, there's a kind of triangle there. And so then you get that the relationship between the schemas and logic are the philosophical categories. The relationship between logic and mathesis is model theory from mathematics. And then there would be a representational theory between mathesis and schemas. And the interesting thing is, in our tradition, we have developed the mathesis and the logic to like infinite degree, but we have hardly any idea about the nature of the schemas. So I think that's a something that needs further research. Is that it?
I'd like to answer
give a first answer to that, which is the fact that my idea is that this is the structure of the worldview, that these meta levels are showing us the structure of our Western worldview. And it may be not true of any other worldview, but it just turns out that our worldview developed with these meta levels, exploration of these meta levels. And so I believe that, you know, when you say there's multiple ontologies being created, most of those multiple ontologies are down at the ontology one level. They're just saying, what's the furniture of the world? And the thing about this conference, which is interesting, is that it's the first one I've heard of where people are saying, okay, there's got to be a dynamism here, right? Because ontologies change over time and things like that, right? And my basic message is that there's even deeper levels of ontology to be explored, and that it is from these deeper levels that these surface ontologies are created, and we need to look at that phenomenon. Okay, this whole way of looking at things is based on phenomenology and based on Husserl's work and Heidegger's work. And all of that has to do with how human beings relate to the world. Prior to that, they thought being was something out there that had an objective existence on its own. And what phenomenology believes is that being has no objective existence on its own. It is part of human functioning and is part of projection itself. It's our projection process. And so I would say to you that we are constantly going into these different modes of being, and we're experiencing them all the time, and that Heidegger and Husserl, Merleau-Ponty, have given ample examples of how we are switching between these modes all the time. Okay, the truth itself is not a reified concept, but being itself is made up of truth, reality, identity, and presence. And all four of those things, whenever you use any of those words, you're talking about being. And so what I'm saying here is that being itself, when you say true, you're talking about the projection system. When you say real, you're talking about the projection system. And anything else that you're talking about is a reification out of the life world.
That is all questions. Thank you very much. The next speaker is Dr. Takahashi. Okay, we keep in and then we'll talk commissione. And while the commissione prepares his presentation, I have to answer to David's question. I think that there are two problems within contemporary ontology. The first one is the distinction between the philosophical understanding of ontology and the computer science understanding of ontology. From the philosophical side, there is only one ontology. From the computer science understanding of the term, there are many different ontologies because they are bounded to some specific domain. This is the first part of the answer. The second part of the answer is the best we can do is to follow the same methodology followed by science. I mean, there is an evolution of science. We think that science develops and understands what they are interested into better and better and so on and so forth. That's the same for ontology and for philosophy. There is an internal evolution, but we hope that in the long run we will be able to grasp some aspect of the reality, but that's the only possibility. Within this trend, there is one maximal point, so to say, to be used as a reference point. Sorry. Okay, that's your problem.
Doesn't seem...
Oh, can we...